Thanksgiving's this Thursday. For those who observe it, it can be a time to dream about things like extra helpings of pumpkin pie, but it can also lead to some anxiety. So many people weren't able to celebrate the holidays with loved ones last year, or maybe will be missing a family member this year who they lost since the last time people could be together. And after living through lockdowns and loss, we all appreciate togetherness more than ever, but seeing family in person again can also be hard, and sometimes there are conversations that are painful. Are there conversations that you are looking to avoid this week? Boundaries you'd like to set? Or maybe there are conversations you know you'll have to have this year and you're not sure how. We'd like to talk about that today, and we are taking your calls. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Joining us are two familiar voices, Reverend Mariama White Hammond, an advocate, facilitator, and founding pastor at New Roots AME Church in Dorchester, and Omar Ruiz, a licensed marriage and family therapist and owner of the practice Talk, Think, Thrive. Reverend Mariama, welcome back.
Good to be here.
And Omar, welcome back to you, too.
Thank you so much for inviting me back.
So, Reverend Mariama, are you approaching this holiday with any familial trepidation by chance?
Well, I think we're mostly good. For Christmas, we do have, like many people, the possibility of a family member who is unvaccinated. And that is one of the, I think, beginning challenges that many people are facing. What do you do if you're protecting yourself through vaccination and you have a family member who doesn't believe in vaccination, doesn't want to get vaccinated, but wants to be together? So thankfully, I don't have to deal with that this Thanksgiving, but that is very real. And I do have parishioners who are facing that challenge.
So to that end, Omar, and obviously respecting privacy, are you hearing from families that you're working with worry and anxiety about conversations they don't want to have or conversations they have to have, et cetera?
Oh, definitely. I'm having that more often than I can anticipate it. And it's a strain for a lot of different couples when they have to figure out what to do, especially with this Thanksgiving more than any other Thanksgivings, because they're going to be faced with family members and some extended family members that they haven't seen physically in a year.
So I want to put the number out to listeners again, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Are there encounters that are making you anxious around the family Thanksgiving table that you're anticipating for Thursday? Are there conversations you want to avoid having or you know you need to have and you'd like to get a little thought on that? Again, you can call us, 800-423-8255. Reverend Mariama, I guess I am assuming that a couple of the biggest areas of consternation for people coming back together as family is differences in politics and differences in how people are perceiving and interacting with the pandemic and pandemic policies. Is that what you're hearing in your parish?
So that's one. I think there's also the loss of family members where you didn't get to go to the person's funeral or you didn't get to say goodbye to them in the hospital. And there's a lot of lingering feelings, and being at that table without that person there, it's a real challenge. So there's a lot of things going on.
So God, with that last one, Reverend Mariama, how do you help people think about how to be present with that?
So one of my suggestions is to use the Thanksgiving time to create some sort of ritual that memorializes the person that you've lost, rather than pretending that they're not, you know, you're not thinking about it or just breezing past. Let's be intentional. This is the first time the family's gotten to gather. We didn't get to gather to honor that person, maybe. Let's use this as a time to tell great stories about the person that we're missing. And that helps us to move through that in a better way when we haven't had the rituals available to us that we usually would have used to process our grief.
Omar, let me give you a chance to build on that, react to that. Go ahead.
No, definitely. I think the first thing for a lot of people that they need to recognize is whether the pain points or even triggers that they might experience when it comes to trying to gather up as a family, not just about the current political climate or not just about COVID, but more so about just interrelational dynamics that they're going to have with families. And to be able to support one another and understand that people are coming together with intention of being able to enjoy themselves, even if there's a big divide or a difference in opinions or viewpoints.
Are there guidelines, tools, Omar, boundaries that you're helping families with that our listeners might find useful going into the Thursday holiday if they observe it?
Yep. So I would say some quick 9 points as far as boundaries. First is to understand what your needs are. People avoid building boundaries because they're afraid about hurting the other person's feelings. But sometimes people engage in tactics to make you feel as though you can't set up boundaries. The second is making sure that you're around people who can keep you held accountable to setting up some of those boundaries. And boundaries can mean anything from engaging in a certain topic to being able to say how you feel and what you expect from others. Third is to be firm and kind. Try to avoid anger and defensiveness, because kindness leads to a greater likelihood of a calm exchange. Fourth is to keep your expectations realistic, meaning be realistic about what and how much you can tolerate difficult potential family members or even difficult conversations. Five is being willing to walk away, but calmly, something that most people forget, that whenever you're around someone who's being toxic, you do have the option to get up and leave. You don't have to explain yourself, and you don't have to apologize. Six is keep in mind that you're in charge of what you do. No one else can make you do or feel anything. Establish what is and what it's not okay. Seven, be direct with people about what is and what is not okay. Eight, take time to take care of yourself first. And then 9, learn to be assertive by standing up to what is important to you.
So, Reverend Mariama, there are some great techniques there from Omar, some boundaries. I think the other thing that is on my mind is, Omar, I can't remember if it was number 7 or number 8, but that self-care dimension. As a pastor, how are you helping people prepare themselves? And listen, I want to backtrack. Thanksgiving can also be absolutely awesome and a wonderful time together as a family and a time to prepare for joy. But we all have had those days with those really tough conversations. So how are you telling people to get themselves ready so that they can be in a place to receive the joy, right, and protect themselves from the tough parts?
Yeah. So this whole month, we've been working from a topic of gratitude, and we've been reminding folks that gratitude is not just happiness or like false optimism, but it's a place at which you can see the challenges and be thankful for the journey, be thankful for your growth, be thankful for who people are. So I say, my father always used to say, when people tell you who they are, believe them. And sometimes I say, if you got to accept people for who they are in the same way that you want to accept them, you want them to do the same for you. So I often, you know, ask people to consider that folks are doing the best they can with what they have and where they are developmentally. Once you accept that, then you decide, what kind of interactions am I going to have with this person given where they are developmentally? The same way that, like, with kids, you don't expect them to do certain kinds of things because that's where they are developmentally. How do you recognize this person is where they are? What's an appropriate interaction that works for me and works for them, given where we both are? And that takes intentionality, not just launching in and just doing whatever, but really asking yourself, how many hours can I be around this person before it usually falls apart? Maybe the best thing for me to do is to plan to be at the table for that number of hours and then plan to go somewhere else so that we don't have to wade into unhealthy and toxic spaces.
So first, I want to extend that focus on gratitude to our listeners, because, I mean, that is a great way to prepare to be together on Thursday. Are you reflecting this week with gratitude heading into Thursday? What are you feeling grateful for? What are you focusing on? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Omar, let's talk more about that role of gratitude, especially during a holiday. I mean, as Reverend Mariama said earlier, lots of people are coming into this with loss that they have not been able to process. We're in a pandemic.
So at least for me, when I'm working with people and they're discussing some of the losses in their lives, some of the difficulties that they're facing, I think I want to go off of the intentionality. It's about being intentional about how to move forward towards something that is important to you. What is it that you want to be able to hold on to during these difficulties? Sometimes it's either your significant other, to your kids, to other family members, or even friends and coworkers. It's about holding on to the things that are important to you so that you can continue moving forward. Because at least in this time, a lot of people did not know whether or not they were going to essentially survive this pandemic. But now that we're here, what can we do to hold on to what we've got, and how do we continue with others?
Okay, so now, Reverend Mariama, it's the meal's mostly done. Bellies are kind of full. It's not dessert time yet. Everybody's feeling pretty happy. And then that conversation starts that you didn't want. You tried to set the boundaries around, but somebody is going there and all of a sudden it's escalating. How do you de-escalate in those moments? Yeah. Some tips there.
So a couple things. One is before the conversation goes off the rails, again, my suggestion of intentionality, one of the things we've been suggesting to our congregants, which also helps with the early advice I gave, is to actually plan activities during the time. And one of the resources I would use is actually an NPR resource from StoryCorps there that gives you great questions that spark amazing conversations. And they're questions like, when was the first time you fell in love? And those kinds of questions actually open you up to learn more about folks, to have meaningful conversations, and are less likely to lead to tense, uncontrolled conversations. But say it happens. My suggestion is, one, to listen, to not jump to trigger points, because usually they just lead in directions that you've already been. And if your decision is that you don't want to go to those points, then you can't make the same decisions that you usually make. So there is the necessity at times, as Dr. Omar said, to decide, I've had enough. And that's an okay decision. But the question is, can you redirect? Can you ask somebody, what was the moment that made you come to that decision? What's your experience? Because that actually leads them back into their own story and provides an opportunity to go deeper into what motivates people, as opposed to arguing over our stated positions on political issues in a way that doesn't usually get us to an any deeper understanding of each other's humanity.
And we will actually be sure to have a link to those StoryCorps resources. Thanks for that reference on our website, radioboston.org. So now, Omar, you know, one of the things that's going to be different at our house for Thanksgiving this year, actually it's not different, it happens sometimes. We have a couple of young people coming to our house who couldn't be home. Never met them, we don't know them, but they know one of our kids, they're coming for Thanksgiving. There will be those for whom this is one of the first times at a table since the start of the pandemic, and maybe not the usual table. Maybe culturally different, maybe they're in a different community. These are not people one's used to spending a holiday with. What are some strategies, both for the host and the guest, to feel comfortable in that space?
I think it's about creating an open line of communication prior to the arrival of the guest, about understanding just the cultural nuances that exist within the household. From something small as when you enter the house, you have to take off your shoes, because maybe a part of the culture of the family is that they don't want to go in and out and bring dirt from the outside inside, to what is expected of the greeting with each other, especially with this COVID world. Is it okay to hug each other? Is it okay to give a handshake or a kiss on the cheek? I think the biggest piece out of everything is to have an open dialogue beforehand to avoid any confusion or avoid any negative implications that could arise once that person enters into this house.
And let's stay with COVID for a minute, Reverend Mariama. I'm mindful of Dr. Fauci saying that if you and your family are vaccinated, feel free to enjoy time indoors, mask-free over the holidays. Early on in the conversation, you raised the specter at Christmas time of having a family dilemma around people being together, some who are vaccinated and some unvaccinated. That's going to happen a lot. How to navigate that? How are you thinking about it, or how are you helping parishioners think about that?
There's been a conversation moving sort of in the family about, would everyone feel comfortable if unvaccinated people come, take a COVID test before entering, and agree to wear a mask? when they're not actively eating? Or do people feel like if you're not vaccinated, don't come? So we're that conversation starting early. Do we need to say, if you're not vaccinated, don't come? But I think that we're engaging the conversation far in advance, not the day before, so that we can come to a place where folks feel comfortable, so it can be shared with that person, and who may not even come, but it's been raised as a possibility. And so we've been trying to figure out how do we have a healthy conversation to come to agreement or recognize that we can't quite come to agreement before that person wants to buy a ticket and is planning to come. And so I think, again, the advanced planning. Now it's for Thanksgiving, you probably didn't, if they're coming, it's probably already happening. And so I think the question is, what does everyone else need to feel safe? I do know of one family that is leaving the windows open and they're all wearing sweatshirts and keeping their jackets.
You could even wear ugly sweaters. You could have a good time with it.
There you go. So I don't think there's a one size fits all solution. But I do think the healthy thing is to make sure you've had a conversation with everyone who's going to be there to get on the same page about what it will take.
And Omar, with just, 15, 20 seconds left, any last thoughts you want to share?
For folks not to bite into a sense of guilt, especially during this time where I wouldn't want for folks to engage in like shaming or blaming because of whatever expectations you might hold of each other, for folks to be able to be open-minded that this is a time to come together as a family and friends.
Well, I appreciate both of you. Omar Ruiz, a licensed marriage and family therapist and owner of the practice Talk, Think, Thrive. Thank you, Omar.
Thank you.
And Reverend Mariama White Hammond, a founding pastor at New Roots AME Church in Dorchester. Good to talk to you, Reverend Mariama. Thanks to you, too.
Good to be here.